Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Okay, welcome to the bracket, episode 189. Today we have a movie crew because we are doing a movie based episode. We are doing the best movies of the 80s. Honestly, what kind of brought this on, and we were just talking about this a second pre-pod, Robert Redford passing, because rest in peace, absolute legend of the world. And he, I would say, owned more of the 70s, but I feel like 80s is funner for us to talk about, I think, in general. We're just more knowledgeable about it than the 70s. So I just wanted to go back in time, do a little talk about some old movies. And we have, again, a movie panel. We got Clem, because can't talk about anything Die Hard without having Clem on. Seems like we just keep having T-Bob, of course, at Gooch, Robbie Fox, and Clemmer. Clemmer, I think the only person on this panel alive during this period. So I think it's a good
one. Not true at all. I'm not... Clem is...
I'm fucking with you.
No, I don't like this. No, I don't like this false allegations about my age.
At least you were like in college during the 80s. That's what we're saying.
You bought tickets to the movies in the 80s. I was alive during the 80s. You bought tickets.
What year were you born?
88. No, I'm just kidding. 82.
What's 79? We're 3 years apart, you fuck.
That 79 is a big, that barrier it's to cross
huge.
Is huge.
Wait, now I'm curious. I'm 89. What's everybody else? Let's just rattle them off. You're at the 80s pod.
93.
I'm 98.
Okay. 94.
Wow. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm starting to think about, though? And we're not like that old at all, but in a couple decades, when we tell kids we were born in the 1900s, it's going to hurt like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Actually,
they'll be impressed.
Like, you know, like when you were a kid and like you could hear about like people's like great grandparents born in like the 1800s.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in the original Rosemary's Baby, there's a line about the 90s. And I remember being like, the fucking 90s. And then I realized, oh, they're talking about the 1890s. Yeah. Holy shit.
A long ass time ago. But before we get to any of that, let's talk about Game Time, our favorite sponsor over here at Barstool Sports. If you listen to anything, watch anything Barstool, you hear us talk about Game Time all the time. Game Time, the NFL is back. Tailgates, packed stands, and that buzz before kickoff. But getting in, nightmare. Cues, Bryce jumps, getting logged out of your site mid-click. All you want to do is be there, beer in hand, lowering your voice, and just fucking going crazy with the crowd, right? And the Game Time app gives the advantage back to the fans. It's the hack for unlocking amazing tickets and experiences in just a few taps. It is incredibly easy to use, and the Game Time guarantee means that you can trust that you'll get 100% authentic tickets on time and at the best price. Plus, fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. I just looked at tickets because me and Clem think we're going to go to this Giants-Chargers game in MetLife in a couple weeks. I was just looking at some of the tickets right now. I'm looking at, and this is a good thing about MetLife. I hate where MetLife is, but there is not a bad seat in MetLife. Like, you really get an incredible view wherever you are. Right on the half-field line, $187, including fees. Right down, you're staring that couple, I'm trying to see what section I'm in. It's section 300, in the 300s, straight down, half-field. I mean, it's just an incredible view, an incredible deal. So, take the guesswork out of buying NFL tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code BRACKET for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create account and redeem code BRACKET for $20 off. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Download the Game Time app today. And I'm pretty confident in us versus you guys in that one, Clem, unless something crazy changes.
Yeah, I'd fight back against you, do like the whole Haro sports fan thing. I went to Giants Eagles with great Game Time tickets. Best tickets I've ever had in my life. I could like smell the players. And watching what the Eagles did to the Giants, it was honestly, I had to stop watching because it was so physically intimidating and imposing. And they were so much faster and stronger than us. All the Eagles fans were taunting me. So that took my will to live. And I'm going to say a Jim Harbaugh team is going to probably bring about the same amount of fury to us. So yeah.
Not yeah.
Hey, Malik Nabers might do something cool. That's kind of what we tune in for every Sunday at this point. Mm.
Chargers fans, by the way, were pissed about losing out on Nabers at first versus Alt, but Joe Alt, my God, he's so
I mean,
good.
Jack, are you just on top of the world right now? Chargers good, Rashawn Slater out. It looks like it doesn't even matter, dude. Enjoy this time. The come up is always the most fun time of any sports team.
It's very fun. The thing about having like pessimism beaten into your skull by this franchise is like you're constantly waiting for the other foot to drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're just waiting for it. But as of right now, beating the Chiefs. And, you know, kind of an away game, but like it just feels great. My God, it's good. And meanwhile, Gooch is in absolute hell, yeah, losing Joe.
Hell, I mean, I'm 2-0.
You are 2-0. Same record. Yeah.
I mean, hey, Jake Browning brought the Huskies to a playoff way before Michael Penix did. Never forget.
Exactly. None of you guys know what hell is. I know what hell is.
Clemmer, I didn't see a playoff win from any of my teams until 4 years ago. I was well into my 20s on the back half of
fucking
my 20s.
Super Bowl, so the fuck
I
up.
Mean, come on. I'm I've a freaking Washington Super Bowl. Fan.
Yeah, but you guys NFC Championship at least, too. You guys are great.
I haven't seen the Reds win a home baseball game in the playoffs my entire life. Ever.
I haven't lived long. I still won a World Series. You haven't lived long enough.
So let's get into it. Again, best movies of the 80s. We'll have a couple play-ins here. But first up, we have the 12 seed versus the 5 seed. The 5 seed, this is one of those, like, there's some movies where I might not even necessarily think, like, it's the best movie, but it is a definitive movie of the decade, for sure. And I think if you're thinking 80s, there's almost no way to escape this one, and it's Back to the Future. I mean, Back to the Future, that's just one of the pinnacle 80s movies. Everything about it. And this is, and me and Clemmer specifically talk about this all the time. It makes me, whenever I rewatch it, makes me miss Zemeckis so much. Like, what he used to be able to do in movies was untouchable. My God. And then he discovered CGI and his whole life got upended.
Isn't it interesting how that happens to a lot of these incredible directors? Like, I'm a massive Peter Jackson fanboy. And if you've watched the appendices on Lord of the Rings, like, everything was about practical effects in those first three. And then you get to The Hobbit and we're literally freestyling the escape out of the mines, just in a giant green room. Like, it's, I don't know. I guess it's like the same thing that leads him to push the envelope. I don't know.
You can say the same thing with George Lucas too, honestly.
Yeah. Like, prequels. Yeah.
Now, one thing I do like about Lucas though, is that he literally like created digital film. Right. Yeah. Like he did give himself over to it, but he was also very much a true pioneer in the space.
Could say the same about James Cameron, too. I mean, Cameron is now fully in, like, he's now all in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although he did say, I think the other day, that he's thinking about Terminator 7, like he's trying to write the script for it. Which, I don't know how that's going to work.
Aren't we thrilled about that?
Yeah. We are.
So Back to the Future is going up against the number 12 seed. This one just made the cut, coming out in 1980. One of arguably the best parody movie ever in Airplane. Airplane, just one of the all-time great comedy movies. Zucker, Leslie Nielsen at the top of his game, just absolutely hilarious. And it holds up so well. Like, just timeless, simple jokes that are not tied into a specific cultural moment. And that, to me, is just so brilliant, so funny.
That matchup just took Clem out.
Yeah, I think he just killed me.
That's tough, man. You say Die Hard, I'm picking Die Hard. Those two are like two of my like three or four that I sent with love to you.
Yeah, so we'll start with you, Glenn, man. Airplane versus Back to the Future. Which one do you think is the better movie of the 80s?
God, it's like, is it better 80s movie or 80s comma movie? That's going to be something we probably go back and forth with. I mean, like, the pangs in my like heart, my belly, my soul, it goes to Back to the Future first, because it's like you said, you rewatch it, all the little things that you didn't learn about till your 10th rewatch, or the internet and the Twin Pines Mall becomes the Lone Pine Mall, just all that thing that keeps it going. It was so good and thorough. They were able to basically remake the movie, and then in the future they go back to it, and it just all blends together. I know we're not putting two in here as well, but it is like half the fucking of two as well. The music is out of this world. They actually just talked about this on Dog Walk, that Bonehead Captain Cons took it 1-1 in movie franchise. I love Back to the Future. I'm waxing poetic. You can't be taking that. T-Bob, you were there for that.
No, it was shocking. It was a shocking 1-1. And like, for it was crazy.
Yeah.
But wait, on that pod, though, I learned, was it Alan Silvestri that did the music?
Yep. Yes.
The guy that would go on to Avengers and everything? I never knew that. It's awesome.
Did Avengers, did Predator, did a bunch of so many, like, randomly. Like, you could tell. He's one of those guys who can tell his style.
Yeah. He also did Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, which might be, which is insane to have in your discography. As a guy named Alan Silvestri.
So where are you going, Clem?
So I'm going to go back to the future. I'll just say this. I think I'll probably talk more Back to the Future. Airplane, I rewatched it within the last year. It, like you said, holds up incredibly well. And when I saw Naked Gun in theaters, and then you see, like, you go back and watch movies like Airplane, you're just like, why did we stop making movies like this? They're just so fucking good, and I love it. So I'm going Back to the Future, though.
One for Back to the Future. How about you, T-Bob?
Ooh, so this is just going to, like, this is really putting me on just a fraud watch here, round one, because one of my biggest pop culture blind spots is Airplane. I've never seen Airplane. Wow. I know, guys. Please don't kick me off the pod. If you need to, like, if my vote is non-applicable here, it for me, it's Back to the Future. But yes, Airplane remains a massive blind spot for me.
No, I think that's Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Everyone has massive blind spots, and if they say they don't, they're fucking lying. So credit to you to owning up to it.
Yeah, exactly. You could easily just lied and been like, I saw it. Oh, I don't like it. No, I appreciate the honesty. So two for Back to the Future. How about you, Gooch?
Yeah, I would go Back to the Future also. There's a lot of great spoof movies, and Airplane is definitely on the short list for the top of that heap. But Back to the Future has a certain je ne sais quoi that just is irreplicable. I mean, you cannot make a time travel movie without within the text directly referencing it. In almost every time travel movie, they'll even just bring up Back to the Future. You got Michael J. Fox at the top of his game, Crispin Glover, Zoe Deutsch's mom looking fine as hell. I mean, and Huey Lewis in the News. Fantastic. Yeah. Back to the Future, easily for me.
Three for Back to the Future. How about you, Robbie?
Easy Back to the Future for me. Love Airplane. I haven't seen Airplane in full in probably 5 or 10 years. Like, I don't even remember the last time I watched it. I'll always see clips. If I see a clip from Airplane on Twitter, I'm stopping and watching it. But it's not like Back to the Future for me, which I don't even like hold Back to the Future in a nostalgic place, because I watched it for the first time, I think, 5 years ago. That was a blind spot for me that we solved on my mom's basement. But since I watched it for the first time, I think I've probably seen the first two at least 3 times each now.
Yeah, just hell yeah.
Skip the third one. I think we can all do without that one.
I have not seen the third one.
Not complete it.
Don't be that
I'm
guy.
I'm with you, Ken Jack. I hate the third one.
The first two are on such a different level to me.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Right. Guys, how about you, Clemmer?
So if this was most influential movie, then I think I would pick Airplane here. You know, you think about Scary Movie, Naked Gun, Hot Shots, all of those movies owe an amazing amount of debt to Airplane. Airplane was the first one, and it worked, and it was so brilliantly done, so funny. But look, guys, Back to the Future is a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie. You have Jaws, I have Godfather 1, I have Back to the Future. These are, like, to me, the greatest movies, the most perfect movies of all time. There's not one thing I would change about Back to the Future. Not one scene, not one anything. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's so great. It's so rewatchable. Back to the Future 5 seed is almost criminal here. Back to the Future by a mile.
Do you think it just holds a candle to a movie like Here, though, from Zemeckis? Or
Here made me like almost physically ill in the theater. Like I love Tom Hanks. What are we doing here? I used to love Zemeckis. Zemeckis has completely lost his way. He's gone.
Yeah.
We'll talk way more about Back to the Future. When you say you wouldn't change a thing, when I watched it as kind of an adult for the first time, I just could not get over how into her son the mom was. I was just like, this is making me really uncomfortable to watch. And that's why I liked 2 so much more than 1, to be honest. Is that a super hot take that maybe that's the one thing I would change? I'll tone down the incest a little bit.
Yeah, but like, she doesn't know, and he's hot and cool.
Yeah, he is hot and cool.
I mean, like, I
watches him invent rock
son.
Music and basically right in front of him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, awesome. You can't get much cooler than that.
He also, Robbie, takes out Biff. Like, that's pretty cool.
Bob, you've been on stage playing in front of people. You know what it's like. I mean, you've seen the looks of adoration that all the women in the crowd are giving you. Glimmer, I would ask you this. Where does this, or anybody for the panel, what were the time travel movies before this?
You had H.G. Wells, The Time Traveler.
Okay.
Which is a movie made in the 60s. That was like my dad would reference that a lot. And then obviously you have the occasional like Star Wars and Star Trek, excuse me, episode and like Twilight Zone. But like the first, so this came out when I was 5, I saw it in the theaters, and it was the first time I had ever heard or seen time travel. And we got out, like, what is this? And my dad's like, you got to watch Time Traveler. So that was the first thing he said to me afterwards.
Oh, that's very cool, man.
Let's see, Time After Time. Yeah, but it kind of just started the rush of time travel.
That's crazy. Because,
like, all of them came kind of after that. It's great. Yeah, it is kind of nuts. Even also, like Bill and Ted. Yeah,
and that came out in 89, right?
Yeah, like right like after that, yeah.
This movie really does have a hold on just, I think, our general. I think, like, me and Clemmer to, like, maybe, like, you guys, I think it kind of had a hold on us, especially the sequel. But I was just at a wedding this weekend, and in my buddy's vows, he goes, you are my density. I mean, destiny. It's like, a buddy of mine throwing that in the vows, that shows how high this movie is in a lot of our lives.
Yeah. Great. A lot of great pop culture references, too. Which, like, you know, you guys weren't ready for that one. Like, you know, there's just a ton of them. So Back to the Future is going to move on. Now we have the 4 seed versus the 13 seed. 4 seed. This is why you're here, Clem. This is why we bring you here. Die Hard as our number 4 seed. I mean, this is one of the quintessential action movies for so many different reasons. And I think one of the big ones, at least to me, is like it was kind of the changing of the guard of action stars from being the hyperbolic Stallone, Schwarzenegger, biggest guy you've ever seen, to being like, oh, I know a guy that looks like Bruce Willis. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real guy. And he has to improvise. He gets the shit beat out of him. He gets like, that's a real person. And great story, awesome one-liners, action was great. Alan Rickman, obviously, like, top of his game, too, like, in his first really, like, movie role. This guy been, like, stage acting forever. Like, just awesome, top to bottom, incredible stuff. And was it Klaus Kinski? Who's the guy, like, the Russian ballerina that they had come in and play?
Yeah, ballerina. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but, boy can dance. I can tell you that, man. I've seen the videos.
Yeah. He died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, really weird death. Yeah. I think he had to escape the Soviet Union, right?
Like, he's in another 80s movie, The Money Pit, which is a great comedy. I recommend if people haven't seen Money Pit. It's a great Tom Hanks performance. But he's in that as well. Yeah, interesting. Rudolph. Fuck.
I forget. Oh, Reindeer?
It's going to drive me crazy.
Bob got that one.
What was this guy's name?
I heard the reindeer. Yeah. Maybe a Santa comedy for my mom's basement.
All right.
So Predator is going up again. Or sorry, that's going against Predator, which is what we were just talking about. Oh, yeah, we were just talking about Predator, just like how Arnie. That's like, you want to talk about the opposite of Die Hard. Every single person in this movie, top to bottom, is the most brolic, the most jacked, the most insanely hyper masculine person you've ever seen in your entire life. Every frame of it is like saturated with it. Like from the fucking handshake between Weathers and Schwarzenegger, the popping biceps, to fucking like Bill Duke being like, don't make me bleed you. Like, it's just so fucking good. Like, everything. I love Predator so much. Another Sylvester score, by the way. And it's also cool stories behind it. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally playing the Predator in like a weird fucking red suit thing, and then they ditched that, and then they moved to the Predator that you designed. They ended up using lots of cool stuff. Incredible all-star cast of like multiple now politicians, two governors, and also I think the guy, the Native American guy, Sonny something, like he also, I believe, became a something, some sort of politician. I forget what.
Shane Black's in it too.
Shane Black.
Oh yeah,
very accomplished writer and director.
Exactly. So Die Hard versus Predator, two great action movies. This time we'll start with you, Clever.
Yeah, this to me is Die Hard pretty easily. I like Predator a lot. I saw Die Hard in the theaters with my dad, Times Square, right here. I was about 7 or 8 years old. It blew my mind. It was an action movie like I'd never seen before. The whole theater was riveted. Great point, Ken Jack, that this was a different kind of action. We never saw Sylvester Stallone or Schwarzenegger pull glass out of their feet.
Yep.
We didn't see this guy get his ass beaten like this. This was it felt like this could be your neighbor. It's a great point, Ken Jack. Like, this, it holds up so well. What a great cast of bad guys. Die Hard is the pinnacle of action movies. I My wife's younger than I am, so I had her watch it. It just didn't hit the same way. It kind of bummed me out. I don't know, maybe the pacing's different, but for me personally, it holds up so well, and it still feels as new as it did when I saw it when I was 8. But I don't know if that's really the case.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Alexander Gudinov was the guy who was the gentleman that escaped the Soviet Union.
You were close, Clemmer.
Rudolph.
No, I was. Samsonite.
Rudolph, yeah.
Oh, stop it with that now. You guys didn't know who the fuck it was.
One vote for Die Hard. Robbie.
Which Robbie?
Fox, sorry.
Okay. easy Die Hard for me. I agree with Clemmer, pinnacle of action movies. I've seen Die Hard 1,000 times. I think maybe the greatest action villain of all time as well. Hans Gruber's just tremendous. Every scene hits more than the last. I watch it every Christmas. I'll watch it when it's not Christmas. I don't care. It's absolutely, I would say, like my favorite action movie. So Die Hard.
Another vote for Die Hard, Gooch.
Yeah, Die Hard, keep it running. I do really like Predator, and to Clemmer's point, I don't know if Predator holds up the same way Die Hard does. In it, like, the practical effects are amazing, and the CGI effects that they are able to pull off with, like, the heat-seeking vision, unbelievable. But you show that to a kid today, doesn't really work that well. Whereas Die Hard, like you said, it's just a guy, and so much of it is all practical, stepping on glass, stuff like that. It's timeless, and I'll revisit it every single year. It is a Christmas movie. Go back to it every December. I love it.
Counterpoint, the scene where they blow up the jungle, just unload every round of ammunition they have into the fucking jungle.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Sorry.
It's so, I just wanted to give Predator credit for the dap. And then that scene, it's the dumbest scene I've ever seen in my entire life. just shooting the jungle. Every single bullet, all their supplies. But it in no way holds up like Die Hard does. Die Hard also, one of the greatest, most punchable, shit-eating characters ever.
Oh, yeah.
And old boy that's trying to fuck his wife.
Ellis.
Yes.
Cokehead Ellis.
Yes. Cokehead Ellis.
Great and shout.
One of my favorite kind of old movie tropes, being way too busy for Christmas. It's like Christmas Eve and they're having this corporate party. Everybody's just ignoring their family. Fuck it. We got to make money, guys. We got to make money. I love Die Hard.
Another one for Die Hard. It might be another sweep. Clem, do I even need to ask?
Honestly, I could, if someone said, again, 80s movie versus 80s comma movie, like you said, for the 80s, Predator is probably the quintessential 80s action movie. Right? Where Die Hard, you could say it was released in 1990, and then all the other ones copied it for years later. But I'm rubber stamping Die Hard every time out. Clemmer, when you said, I like the way you said that before, like Star Wars, Back to the Future, Jaws is a perfect movie. Oh, he's not even here. I'm talking to fucking Jay. But I was thinking Die Hard's the same way. I can never say how to
just
explain it.
Just turned sideways.
It's the best movie of all time, and I think what I'm trying to say is just the perfect movie for what it is.
Credit Gooch, that was a great joke. But it is a quintessential from that era for sure. And Die Hard is buried at the cutoff. Bruce Willis hadn't really done a lot of action before Die Hard, right? Like he'd done like the more
Put
like
him
the
on was map it, for that stuff, yeah.
Well, also, correct me if I'm wrong.
Moonlighting, wasn't, yeah.
So Die Hard's based on a book, and I believe they were originally gonna make that book a movie with Frank Sinatra playing the lead role.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Whoa.
I think Sinatra owned the rights to it for a while.
I think he did. I think you're right about that.
And then, but Bruce Willis was a TV star at the time in Moonlighting, which is actually a pretty creative, interesting show if you're like interested in old TV history. But to see him kind of in this more action, he's a detective in Moonlighting, but this was a whole different Bruce Willis than we had seen before.
Yeah. So Die Hard is going to move on. Now we have the 9 seed versus the 8 seed. The 9 seed is a sequel movie. It's Aliens. Aliens, one of the best sci-fi action movies ever made. It is an unbelievable, unbelievably good movie with just like, let me talk about this like ad nauseum with LCB, just like the what Cameron did with Aliens. When Alien is like a very pretty strict sci-fi horror, like very narrowed in genre thing with Ridley Scott, and James Cameron takes it over and just turns into sci-fi action, and it's just as good, if not better. And the cast is another one, unbelievable, like top to bottom grouping, like all the Space Marine guys, cool, sick, guns. James Cameron knows guns better than anybody in the world. Something about it, he just gets fucking how to use guns in movies. So goddamn cool. And that's going up as number 8 seed, which is Another one, this is like quintessential in a couple of different categories, not just with 80s, but I'd say also with like coming of age movies and The Goonies. The Goonies, man. The Goonies, that's, you want to talk about 80s movies? Oof. You got to talk about The Goonies, one of the all-time great adventure movies ever made, in my opinion. So let's start with you this time, Clem. The Goonies versus Aliens.
I love that it's Clem and Clemmer, the bookends for this one.
Yeah. And Clem Robbie.
Robbie and Robbie.
Yeah. Robbie and Robbie are the middle.
I love it.
And T-Bob. We've got three
actually,
Bobs
Bob
and two
Bobby. Clemmer. Yeah, yeah. Bobby, dude. There you go. Bobby and Bobby. Fuck you, Jack.
Man.
Yeah, I'm the one. I'm the odd man. I need to get Jack Mech on this one.
I think I got to...
Stell Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stell Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stell Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
I think I got to go Goonies. I feel like the tiebreaker is, does it have a theme song that you associate with it instantly for 80s movies? And it just has that. It has the poster in my head. I mean, Aliens has all its great shit in its own right. But, man, there's a few on here that are so fucking 80s. Like, I almost have to vote for it over anything else. And I think Goonies is one of them.
Mm-hmm. One vote for Goonies. T-Bob.
Yeah, I'm so biased in this. This is an easy decision for me. I really like Aliens. I love Bill Paxton in Aliens specifically, but I was always more of an Alien guy. Like, I remember when I went back and watched these two movies in college, like Alien and Aliens, I remember being a bit taken aback by the kind of tonal shift. Like, I still enjoyed it, but I think my expectations were a little out of whack because I was thinking like, oh, shit, I'm going to get more of this like tense, creeping, kind of more grounded thing. And it was very over the top, but it's still very good. And the impact that is huge. But Goonies for me, dude, I think this might, there's a very good chance that either this or the movie Sidekicks with Chuck Norris may be the movie I have seen the most in my entire life. I do not know why, but me and my little brother had an almost autistic obsession with this movie where every summer we would spend like 2 months in Louisiana, my grandparents, and every single night we would watch The Goonies, every night, bar none. And so I'm obsessed with this movie. It is Spielberg and kids at their absolute best. Everything has gone on to inspire. Like, fuck, I loved Skeleton Crew here recently. Yeah. And that was like, you could just trace the lineage all the way down there. So yeah, give me Goonies with a bullet here.
Talk about a crazy cast too. I mean, Sean Astin now the head of the Actors Association, right?
SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, Sean Astin, Brolin. Lord of the Rings guy. So you're in his house right now, T-Bob, if you're watching.
True.
and then Brolin as a kid actor, kind of. He's like a teen. Corey Feldman, great cast.
Kiwi Kwan.
Kiwi Kwan.
I'm rolling with Goonies as well. And I really like Aliens, but the tough detractor for me is that it's not as good as Alien in my mind. Like,
yeah.
Alien is a perfect movie to me. Aliens is probably like an 8 out of 10. And that step down, just in my mind, it hurts it. And to everyone else's point, Goonies is just the gold standard for, I think, like kids' adventure. And mm-hmm. we don't get enough of them because, honestly, I don't think we have enough good child actors to pull that off. It is insane that all that talent was right there underneath Spielberg's watch. Yeah. Great movie.
I think we're worried to scare kids. I think we're worried to scare kids a little bit too.
Yeah.
Like back then they would do a little more. Like my kids, when I showed Goonies to them recently, like my daughter was like a little freaked out, but she still ended up enjoying it. And we've really softened a lot of the edges in today's kids movies.
Spielberg's talked about that before. He said that all of his movies for families, he made sure that he'd have one scene, at least one scene in those movies that would psychologically scar those children. He wanted that. He wanted the movie to be remembered.
By the way, talk about a trio on this. Directed by Richard Donner. Right. Screenplay from Chris Columbus. And then story, obviously, from Steven Spielberg. What a goddamn trio.
He also produced it and was involved with the shoot as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Robbie Fox.
I'm going to go Goonies here as well. I'm maybe the exception to the aliens thing on this panel. I like Aliens better than Alien. And that's kind of a new love for me as well. Like, I kind of just got into the Alien franchise in the last 2 years. And when I watched them back to back, like, Aliens, like, blew my mind. I was like, wow. Oh my God, fucking game over, man. Literally.
Game over, man.
I fucking loved it. The Goonies, not like another movie. I didn't actually grow up with the Goonies. The first time I saw the Goonies was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I was on a vacation in San Diego, and my future wife booked us a solo private movie on the beach, and we watched The Goonies on a projector, just the two of us, with fucking cheese and wine, and she set this up. It was not only the perfect movie, but the perfect movie watching experience, to where, like, watching The Goonies makes me just think, like, oh my God, that was so awesome, so I'm gonna go Goonies here.
Nice. I love that. By the way, a funny line I just remembered while we were talking about it. Private Vasquez in Aliens, the butch female.
Yeah, girl.
The scene where she's talking to the guy from Shawshank Redemption, like the guard or whatever, or the bad inmate, whatever. And he's like, hey, Vasquez, they ever mistake you for a man? And she's like, I don't know. They say they ever mistake you for a man? Like, there's so many cool lines, like cool Cameron lines throughout that movie. She's also the mom, I think, in T2, right? I think that same actress. If I remember correctly.
You're probably right. The Cameron connection would make sense.
Yeah. So we're all Goonies right now, Clemmer.
Yeah. Aliens is probably a better movie, maybe, than Goonies, but Goonies means so much more to me. I love this movie. Look at Richard Donner for a second. Like, look at this guy's career.
Oh.
Directed The Omen, Superman the movie, which I think is still one of the greatest comic movies ever made, Goonies, Lethal Weapon. Like, what a wide variety. This guy could do everything. And I think a lot of people might not really know Richard Donner and maybe don't give him enough respect. I mean, he kind of gets swallowed up by Spielberg because, you know, he's such a big director at the same time. And Spielberg is a better director. I'm not trying to compare the two. But I just think Richard Donner should get his flowers for sure. He kind of invented the comic book movie as we know it. And he also kind of invented the cop buddy movie as we know it, too, with Lethal Weapon. And then he directs Goonies, too. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, that's insane. I see, that was a blind spot for me. I actually didn't know any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great director. So Goonies is going to get another clean sweep, by the way. Three clean sweeps, which isn't bad. This is just good because we know what we like here.
Yeah.
So now you have the 1 seed versus the 16 seed Chayen game. Let's do the Chayen game first. First Chayen option, The Princess Bride, a movie I love a lot, but it was tough to see just with what we had on the list. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, another, I think, quintessential 80s. For sure. The Karate Kid. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which, God, I love that movie so much. That was another tough one.
Fuck me.
That's
a
really tough. Caddyshack, another one which is tough to seed here. Stand By Me, which killed me not to seed because my middle name comes from Stand By Me because my parents loved it so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gordon. They loved Gordy in Stand By Me. And then Batman, 1989 Batman with Keaton. So, again, to run through the options again, and Clemmer, you're going to go first. The Princess Bride, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, The Karate Kid, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Caddyshack, Stand By Me, and Batman.
There's no movie I saw more in my life than the 89 Batman. It came out when I was 9. I love it so much, but I can't pick it here. Because Planes, Trains, and Automobiles means so much to me. Like, I watch every Thanksgiving, and I love Batman so much. I love that Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, but that John Candy performance has me in tears every Thanksgiving. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles here. Oh, they're all good movies. Honestly, every movie you listed was a really good movie. I feel horrible leaving Karate Kid off.
Yeah.
Plummer, I got a question for you. I remember Batman being a smash hit in the box office, obviously. Am I remembering this correctly? I don't know if you remember. I feel like it was out in the movie theater so long, it was released on videotape, and it was still in the theater. Do you remember?
So I could tell you the day it was released in theater. It came out in theater June 23rd, 89, and it was released on VHS November 23rd, 89, my 10th birthday. It was my 10th birthday.
Wow.
Was it still in theaters, you know, 5 months later? Oh, yeah, I bet. It was in theaters that whole summer. It came out in June. It was, you'd see Marquee's Batman. I mean, that's how it was back then. I saw, the first movie I saw in theaters was E.T., but I saw it a year after it came out because it was still in theaters a year later. Oh,
Jesus.
People didn't have VCRs back then, or they didn't have cable as much as they do now. So, the movies would stick around.
Yeah. So one for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Robbie Foxx.
This is tough because you said The Karate Kid and I was like, I have my pick. And then you ended it with Batman and I was like, okay, I have my pick. I'm going to wind up going with Batman. It's just like that. That is that's the Robbie Fox pick here. I've seen Batman a million times. I do think The Karate Kid is a perfect movie, like absolutely flawless. I did a commentary, me and Clem, with Alex Sulkin, who's a writer on Family Guy and a bunch of things, Ted and stuff. And like hearing a writer also break down why it was perfect and why there's like not a scene that you could cut out of that movie gave me even more of an appreciation for it. But I'm going to go Batman here. I mean, it kicked off, you know, the greatest Batman. Batman as a movie franchise is the greatest superhero we've ever seen on the big screen. And this was the first movie that like took him seriously. The last Batman thing they had was Adam West before this. Mm. And Tim Burton cast a guy who a lot of people, I think at the time, were like, yeah, Beetlejuice or this idiot's going to be Batman. Mm. And then he delivers an amazing performance. So I'm going
to Mr. Mom Batman. Is Batman.
Mr. Mom.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So one for Batman. Gooch.
Two for Batman.
Two.
But I am going to go with The Princess Bride, which I don't know if this is going to make a comeback or not. But
wait,
this
what?
Is.
wait, what?
Because he said one for Batman, and then I was like, well, Klimmer and.
No, he did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, he switched. Oh.
The worst fucking movie on the list.
Princess Bride? I want that clipped. The Princess Bride is incredible. It is just my go-to, honestly, when I'm hungover. It's 90 minutes. It's colorful. It's bright. There's nothing like it. I love it. It's charming every single time. I don't expect
Andre the Giant. Shout out Andre.
Shout out Andre.
And Wallace Shawn. Oh my god, yes. So funny in that. Good lord. And Patinkin, man, what that's a real
Gary
serious
Elvis,
crew,
dude.
Yeah, Robin
serious Ryan. Crew. T-Bob.
So this I love all these as well. The two that would be at the top of my list would be Plane, Trains, and Automobiles and Princess Bride. Same thing. I watch Plane, Trains every Thanksgiving. John Candy's performance brings me to tears every time. I make the my dogs are barking joke all the time whenever my feet are hurting. I mean, but it's Princess Bride for me, though. It's like, I mean, Gooch nailed it. This the clean, fun adventure, the incredible cast of memorable characters. I mean, Billy Crystal, dude, mostly dead. I mean, come on, dude. He's not dead. He's only mostly. I could watch that show. I could watch that scene 1,000 times. It never gets old. The whole storybook setup. And then I just saw this online like a week or two ago that if you look behind, God, what's the kid actor's name? Why am I blanking? Yes. If you look behind Fred Savage's bed, all the posters and everything are what he's using. The grandpa is to make up the story as he's telling it. He's not. He looks like he's reading from the book, but then you look behind and you see all this stuff that's being woven into the story. But yeah, Princess Bride for me.
Oh man. Peter Falk,
is there kissing in this story?
So we had two for Princess Bride, one for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one for Batman. Clem, what are you going with?
By the way, I had to look at like the cast of Princess Bride and just see who did everything. And I just found out that Andre the Giant's name is not, I always thought it was just Andre the Giant. I thought that was birth certificate. Andre Rene Rusimoff, get the fuck out of here. Yep. I kind of have, T-Bob, have you watched this with the kids? When this came up, I was like, man, I sent Ken Jack, this was one of my, things I submitted, and I was like, I wonder if this holds up for the kids these days.
Yeah, my kids loved it. They even got scared a little bit with like the giant rats and like the hell, what is it, like the hellfire swamp or whatever it's called, or the eels in the water. It still holds up. They really enjoyed it. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So again, I definitely gravitate a little towards the stuff with like the vibe, the 80s vibe, the music, and like Robbie said, perfect movie. I gotta go Karate Kid. You're the best around. You have Gloria Love, I believe, in the second one. Like, it just, the vibes was so 80s. The fucking bully Johnny, Cobra Kai, just a bunch of scumbags that could just be scumbags because they're like in a karate clan together.
Yeah. That is funny to think about.
And I actually, the Charlie Sheen doc I watched on Netflix, which I really recommend. I thought it was really good. It was much better than I expected. And it talks about his whole life, not just the Tiger Blood years. And he was actually, he passed on Karate Kid because he had a previous engagement and his dad, Martin Sheen, was like, no, you gave your word. You can't go back on it. And it's bananas to think Charlie Sheen as the Karate Kid, first of all. And then like Ralph Macchio, we probably just like, I mean, that's a
wild thing
level, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wild thing.
So that means that the Princess Bride is going to move on and play our number one seed. I think by far the one that had the most, it was on every list without a doubt. and that is Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. It has to be Star Wars Empire Strikes Back as our one seed. It is the most submitted one. It is a defining movie for sure of the 80s, and also for sci-fi, and also for like 15 different things. It is a defining movie, and a perfect movie too. We've talked about this before. There's just not a frame wasted really in Empire Strikes Back, my God. So this will probably be, I imagine, a pretty easy sweep, but Empire Strikes Back versus Princess Bride, starting with you, Clem.
Best Star Wars movie, best sci-fi movie, maybe best sequel, I guess, depending on how you feel, like Godfather 2 and stuff like that. You can do a lot of what is it the best of. And I always forget this in the Cheyenne games that we just are basically sacrificing these things.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andre. Even Andre the Giant can't save it against big Darth Vader after he gets scorned by his son. So I'm going to Empire for sure.
One for Empire, T-Bob.
Yeah, I mean, come on, y'all know me. It's Empire. So it's always interesting, though, because I was actually always a New Hope guy over Empire my entire adult life. I'm always a fan of my first experiences in universes and whatnot. And New Hope's like got a kind of beginning, middle, and end, whereas Empire is sort of like a middle chapter, right? Like it's not a lot of closure. But when they had the 40th anniversary recently, and I went and saw Empire in theaters, I was like, oh shit. Like it hit me the same way as when I saw with a kid, like, oh, this is such an expansion on the original. And then again, being a kid, I just remember seeing the Battle of Hoth for the first time, and you're just immediately like blown away, and the pacing, it just never slows down. I just got goosebumps thinking about Han Solo flirting with Leia, you know, you like scoundrels, holding her hand up. It's the absolute fucking best. Empire.
I love you. I know. One of the coldest lines in movie history.
The best.
Two for Empire State or Empire Staple. Empire Strikes Back.
Yup. Send it. 3-0.
3-0. Robbie Fox.
Brother, put the Princess Bride in carbonite and send it to Jabba the Hutt. It's out of here.
Princess Buttercup. No.
Clever.
Yeah, not even close for me. Empire Strikes Back's fantastic. Yeah. Princess Bride is mid for me. So this is
mid. That's a hot take, I think. I mean, it's like one of the most classic movies ever, most quotable movies ever.
Inconceivable, Clem. So
yeah,
it's a lot of that same like shitty like nerd humor from like Lord of the Rings that I just. I know I am a nerd.
I'll slander the Rings.
Shut
you, I will.
Fuck up.
Nothing subtle. It's like, all right, relax. I love William Goldman, like great writer, but his books are fantastic. If you're interested in reading like old movie books, Goldman's amazing. Kirk got me on to William Goldman books. The movie doesn't, I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's fine.
I think the lack of subtlety is actually in its favor because it has such a storybook feel.
Reminds me of Airplane in that way. It's like the fairy tale Airplane almost.
Well, Airplane's funny.
It's a funny, well, it's funny. So Empire Strikes Back is going to move on. Before we get to the second half, let's talk about Blue Chew. Fellas. And you know, we do Blue Chew ad. They fucking love puns. No one loves puns more than the ad writers for Blue Chew. Guys, enter the room. Dick first. Blue Chew isn't just a tablet. It is a cheat code for your crotch. Stronger, harder, and longer lasting. Like someone gave your downstairs a pep talk and a gym membership. It's like frozen. Your dick's frozen in carbonite, basically.
Yeah.
In a good way,
you know?
In a good way. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets for better sex. It's not supplement. It is an erection resurrection. Guys, this isn't just about performance. It's about legacy or third legacy. Give her group chat something to talk about. You know, when you lay it down that they're talking about how it gets up, there's nothing that makes you more of a legend than a little bit of Blue Chew. Discover your options at bluechew.com. And we have a special deal for our listeners. As always, get your first month of Blue Chew free. Just use promo code BRACKET at checkout and pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head to bluechew.com for details and safety info. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Shout out to our good friends over at Blue Chew. All right, other side of the bracket, 11 seed versus the 6 seed. The 6 seed, we were talking a little bit about this, Gooch, when we were talking about The Long Walk and just like Stephen King adaptations in general. I mean, The Shining is probably one of the, like, it's the best Stephen King adaptation. And Stephen King hated it, which makes it 10 times funnier. But it's such an effortlessly incredible, not even effortlessly, it's a lot of effort, but it's an incredible horror movie. So, so good. Nicholson, absolute top of his game. Shelley Duvall, absolute heights. Like, everything about it is absolutely, it's just an incredible movie. And that's going up. It's number 11 seed. This is another one that I think is maybe not like the best movie, but like encapsulates the 80s for sure. And that is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is like, that is, you want to talk about quintessential 80s movies. I think to me, that is definitely one of them for sure. So Ferris Bueller's Day Off versus The Shining. Let's start with you this time, Clemmer.
Yeah, it's The Shining by a mile. Shining, I think, is one of my five favorite movies ever. The Shining incredible. Each time you watch it, you kind of peels back a different layer. It's something maybe you didn't think about. Or kind of like, it never explains kind of why this is happening, which I think allows it to be just so rewatchable. The Nicholson performance is amazing. I will say, Kendrick, you said it's like clearly the best King adaption. You could argue Shawshank.
Sure, yeah.
Might be. I have The Shining ahead of Shawshank, but both are my top 10 all time. These are two, like, just the greatest movies ever for me. But The Shining is the darkness. You know, you could, is it about alcoholism? Is it about, like, you know, the white man kind of taking the land? Is it about evil, just haunted house? Like, dude, there's so many different layers you can find in this, and no one's wrong and no one's right. And it leaves you kind of always troubled but wanting more. I love this movie so much. I watch it maybe one or two times a year every year. I love it so much, and I always find something new. This is, to me, is Kubrick's best. I know it, that wasn't how it was received. It won like Razzies and stuff.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It was not well
That's
received.
Insane.
But I love it. I can't get enough of The Shining.
So one vote for The Shining. Robbie Fox.
I love The Shining. It's Ferris Bueller very easily for me. Like, Ferris Bueller is like one of my favorite movies. And it's a movie that I watched when I was super young. My grandma showed it to me. I remember watching it, like, sitting on her floor and just like thinking everything about it was so funny and so cool. And I faked sick from school 1,000 times in my life. And I would always try to have a plan as good as Ferris's. And I was never as good. I remember once I faked sick from school so I could play Guitar Hero 2. And I remember I was so happy when I beat it. I called my mom. I was like, I beat Guitar Hero 2. She's like, I thought you were sick. I was like, click. So it was just like, I wasn't very good at it. But I always wanted to be Ferris. So I'm going to go Ferris Bueller.
1-1 right now. Gooch.
Yeah, for me, The Shining is the best movie that's been put on the board so far. Probably, in my opinion, the best movie of the 80s. It is going to knock Ferris Bueller's socks off right here. Kubrick, he just, when you watch his movies, he has something. And to reference Amadeus, an 80s movie, which I don't think it's going to be on here. You know that scene where Salieri's reading through the musical notes and he's like, yep. He drops them on the floor. It's like hearing the voice of God. That is like watching God paint when you watch Kubrick and what he did with The Shining. It is just unbelievable. Yeah, it's going to be tough for that to be beat for me, at least.
2-1 right now in favor of The Shining. T-Bot.
Yeah, I love both these. Sloane is, and always has been, my favorite childhood crush of all time.
Same, T-Bob. You're like, speaking my language.
Yeah, like bar
kiss for daddy?
I had one girl in high school that kind of looked like her, and I don't think she really ever knew that, like, I always liked her so much and had such a crush on her just because she looked exactly like Sloane. She was cool.
Have you seen Life of Chuck?
I have not seen Life of Chuck.
She plays the grandmother. And don't get me wrong, sexy grandmother for sure. Like, it was still kind of a mind fuck for me. I'm like, because Mia Sara, the actress, plays her all time for me. I might be like, when growing up, like my one. Like when I was a kid.
Is.
Like
when when she was in the stands with her scorebook taking down the game.
Oh, that is like, you almost lost. Just ripped the heart out of me.
But so Sloane, I did want to shout out her again, 1-1. And that movie's awesome. But The Shining is, I think, my favorite horror movie of all time. I'd have to maybe double check that list. Deeply disconcerting in so many ways. Ways I don't even understand. Like when the blood starts to pour out of the elevator. The first time I saw it, like, that's the one that really freaked me out the most and stuck with me the most. And I don't exactly know why. And it's Kubrick, you know. Shining.
Old lady always fucked with me. That was the,
Same.
All Shining right now, except for one dissenting vote. Clem, how about you?
First of all, blood and elevator, yes. Twins, yes. Old lady, yes. Let's be honest, guys. The fucking bear giving the guy head and looking up, that's the fucking scene. That just sends you chill down your spine. I think that was actually the first horror movie. Like, I was like, all right, time to man up. And I think I was like at a sleepover and I didn't have a choice. So I was like, all right, we're getting into horror movies. And it actually, it brought me into the world. It was gentle with me. It still fucked me up. But I'll probably just vote for the show. It's already over, right, Ken Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll vote for The Shining just so I have, like, I just don't vote all the 80s, like, coming-of-age movies. But I got to shout out Ferris Bueller. When he's on the phone, he's acting like someone's, Rooney, I want to give you a piece of it. All-time just great performance. Another one with, like, you hear that bump, bump, bump. It takes you right back.
Yeah,
right
Dave, bow, bow.
There's a lot of great shit in it, but I'll go with the adult movie here for once. I'll go Shining.
Maybe like Bueller, like everyone had a teacher like that.
Everyone.
Also, and you feel the guilt of like the miles on the car. Like you're like, oh my God. Like you like I can feel it in my chest now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I've been loving his kind of career resurrection, by the way. It was Alan Ruck, right? I mean, he's been having a great I
feel like. And now he's Succession. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conheads, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Conheads. Three seed versus the 14 seed now as Shining moves on. This is a battle of sci-fi movies that are very different. First up, three seed, it's E.T. You know, I mean, you can't talk about 80s movies without E.T. coming right at the top of the board. Like Clemmer said, it's your first theatrical movie, right? Yeah. I mean, it's an all-timer for another one where blending genres like sci-fi and coming of age kind of things, like who thinks of that being like a thing at that point, and it's just working perfectly. Also did wonders for Reese's Pieces, my God. And like young Drew Barrymore, like so many great performances throughout this from kids, which is, I think, is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And that's going up at number 14 seed. Very different movie, very iconic in the sci-fi world for sure. It is like a benchmark movie in that sense. Blade Runner, not a movie everyone loves, I would say, but I think a movie that's definitely extremely important, not only in the filmography of Ridley Scott, but also just to the world of sci-fi, because a lot of dystopian movies that came after that, they really modeled like all their shit after what they did in Blade Runner. It's a very important movie to come out of the 80s for sure. So let's start with you this time, Clint. Blade Runner or E.T.?
I'm going to go... I wanted to do an experiment. I can't do it myself. But like, I would love to see E.T. without hearing the song, because I feel like the song takes me right back there, you know? And I'm very musically based, as I say with all these. But E.T., was, I mean, just an absolute smash. It's like, that's one of the few things where you're like, that is 80s. Such a big movie that it crashed the video game industry because the game sucks so much.
Yeah.
The landfill's filled with them. Like you said, the Reese's all-time bag drop by M&M's by not getting in the movie. I don't think they even have a sponsor. I think it has to be E.T. There's that like pillars of the 80s right there. One of them for sure.
One for E.T. T-Bob.
Yeah, love both of them. Blade Runner is cool as fuck. The pacing of it, the comic book esque feel of it. Even though all the Blade Runner versions kind of run together in my head, like I can't remember which is which anymore. I feel like I've seen all the different ones, but Clem nailed it, dude. I listen to John Williams every day of my life, still to this day, and it still holds up great. My kids absolutely love it. My sister's kids absolutely adore it. It's E.T. with a bullet.
Mm-hmm. Another one for E.T. Gooch.
Me and my friends found E.T. We'd kill him with a hammer. I'll tell you that much.
Monster. I hate that take. That's a living creature. That's fucking wrong.
He's an alien. Here illegal.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
He's not a guy.
I've never been an E.T. guy. Something with the creature design has always disgusted me and repelled me. I'm sure it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But I have to go Blade Runner here. I have to go Blade Runner. And Harrison Ford, maybe the best he's ever looked. He looks so fucking good in that duster.
So hot.
And the Rutger Hauer speech at the end, we didn't even really talk about. Like, ad-libbed, tears in the rain. Like, it's so fucking cool. Robbie Fox.
I love Harrison Ford, probably my favorite actor of all time. I don't love Blade Runner. I like the idea of Blade Runner a lot more than I like Blade Runner. I love the sequel. Like, I thought the sequel was fucking fantastic. I like it more than the original. I do just love E.T. It's an easy E.T. pick for me. Quintessential movie of my childhood. Me and Clem just did the E.T. ride at Universal a couple of years ago, which has not been updated, which is amazing.
Good.
It's so old you could smell the 80s on the ride. I absolutely loved it. Yeah. I hope they never update it. Still, you walk in and there's a screen this big with like a message Spielberg recorded in like the early 90s being like, welcome to Universal. It's like so nostalgic and awesome. Easy E.T. pick for me.
What does it smell like? Like British Knights and cigarettes?
Yeah, like libraries. Yeah.
Like. So grandma's house. It really does smell like how I remember the 80s smelling. It's in Universal Florida. You have to absolutely go. And it again, the ride is the same shitty technique that they had back then. It's amazing. Mm. It's out of this world.
All AT, Clemmer.
It's a great matchup because of how the movies are. I think like Blade Runner is like science fiction if you have like your brain first. And E.T. is science fiction if you're heart first.
Oh, wow.
I'm a heart first guy. Like, I love sentimental movies. I love E.T. So it's E.T. for me. One last thing about E.T. Like, someone asked me in the office, like, what was kind of the box office go-to before Titanic? Because, like, that movie is the next Titanic. And it was E.T. So, like, if you were a kid in the late 80s early 90s, mid-90s, your go-to was E.T. E.T. was that box office behemoth. That's how powerful and giant E.T. was. But yeah, I'm with Robbie. I don't love Blade Runner. I appreciate Blade Runner a lot. Like, I can understand why people do love it. It's just not entirely for me. I just really love E.T.
Clemmer, I like that you said lead with your heart, because you know what I was just thinking about doing as we were talking about it? I think I kind of want to introduce – the kids have never seen it. I want to watch E.T. with them just to see them cry when he goes, I'll be right here, and point to his heart, because I heard that got me bad when I was a kid, and I want to see that experience. I might, like, record it, too, so I have it on my phone forever.
When he's sick and all gray,
oh, it's
so sad.
Yeah.
Not Gooch. Gooch is like, oh, I beat the shit out of him with this.
Gooch is pulling his life support. Tweet
for you. Yeah, it's a viral one. Yeah, do you remember what was the movie that tried to rip it off with that awful fucking the kid in the wheelchair? Do you remember
Mac and Me.
Yeah. God, so bad. So E.T. is going to move on. Now we have the 10 versus the 7 seed. 10 seed, again, quintessential 80s, quintessential Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, is top to bottom quintessential 80s. Like, a bunch of the top actors of that era, the fucking score from Ghostbusters? Herbie Hancock, right? Is it not Herbie Hancock? It's a different guy. Anyway, Ghostbusters.
Ray Parker did the song. But I don't remember the score. Score is fantastic.
Oh, the score.
It is.
I didn't know the score. Yeah. Jerry Goldsmith? I'm going by memory here. Jerry Goldsmith, I think, did the score.
I will double check.
I trust your memory.
But Ghostbusters going up against another sci-fi movie. And a lot of sci-fi up in this bracket. I think the 80s is really when they kind of cracked this big time. And Terminator. I mean, Terminator, another one. This is one that just really – I like T2 more, but Terminator 1 is – you want to talk about things that really – benchmark type of horror movies, totally different concept, the effects of it, the fucking skull, the metal skulled robot, just the score too, sick as fuck. Like Michael Biehn, so cool. Sarah Connor, amazing. Like, and Arnie, I mean, it's just fucking Arnie. So Ghostbusters versus Terminator, what do you think is the better movie? Starting with you, Clem.
Stella Blue Coffee ready to drink can lattes are officially available nationwide at Target. That's right. Whether you're making a Target run for toothpaste, paper towels, or somehow spending $200 on things you didn't know you needed, stop by the coffee section and see why everyone is turning to Stella Blue. The cans are made with 100% Colombian coffee, real dairy, real sugar, and contain 190 milligrams of caffeine. They've got dessert level flavor with coffee level function. You can choose from espresso, sweet cream, or espresso cafe mocha. And once you try them, you'll understand why they're the best canned lattes out there. Here's the best part. 100% of proceeds will go toward our We Brew to Rescue mission, in which we're funding the adoption of 1,000 pets across the country. Grab a Stella Blue at Target, taste the difference, and make a difference. Stella Blue Coffee.
Ghostbusters was my favorite movie growing up. Until probably the time I saw Die Hard. And I didn't see Die Hard till a little later because I didn't, I just saw the guns. I was like, what the fuck is this? But I watched Ghostbusters as a kid and had all the shirts. Ghostbusters 2 broke my heart because I loved one so much. And I don't know if people love it now, like they love the prequels, but at the time I remember being a little bit of a disappointment. It broke my heart. I we've been throwing this word around, the P word. I think it's another perfect movie, boys. I really do, because it hits all the things, the drama, the sci-fi, the comedy. It kind of does it all, and it weaves it all together so well, which I think all these movies we're discussing does a great job of doing. So I got to go Ghostbusters based on that.
One for the Busters. T-Bob.
It is interesting. It seems like most people who were growing up in the 80s, like really coming of age in the 80s or kids in the 80s, I feel like Back to the Future and Ghostbusters are always the movies that are constantly referenced as being like, this changed the game. Like me and my friends used to go see this constantly. For me, I really enjoy Ghostbusters. I don't think I'm quite that far with it, but I'm not quite that far with Terminator either. Another great movie, sure, like you said, the effects are incredible, but I still watch Ghostbusters. I actually never go back and watch T1 anymore, so for that reason I'll end up going Ghostbusters.
Two for Ghostbusters. Gooch.
For me, I would say I think Terminator is like a much better movie, but I cannot discount the sheer number of times I rewatched Ghostbusters as a kid. I don't know if that staying power is still around, but for me and my friends, we were still going to Blockbuster and renting that movie once a month, twice a month. It still played for us, and I haven't watched it in a while, but honestly, talking about it now, I'm kind of itching to go back to it.
Dude, it's almost Halloween time.
The Ecto Cooler, yeah. Man. Yeah. Like, people really forget about how fucking pervasive this was with us.
The High C.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Fuck Robbie Fox.
Easy Ghostbusters for me. Love T2. Don't love T1. Like, again, I appreciate what it did and the fact that it bridged us to T2. I love Ghostbusters so much, and I love that it works for kids and adults. Like, you watch it as an adult, and you're picking up on more jokes. And that's something that the new ones have lost a little bit. It seems like the new ones are just for kids. I thought Afterlife was good. The last one, Frozen Empire, didn't really love that one. But easy Ghostbusters for me. Love Ghostbusters.
Clemmer, rather.
Terminator's fine. It definitely, T2 is amazing. Terminator's fine. There's a weird, we talk about how great the effects are. There is a weird thing where like Arnold's face gets all crazy and it's obviously not, it looks actually really funny. But I mean, for its day, for its time, it was incredible for sure. I think Ghostbusters, not only comes, it's perfect. I completely agree. It might be one of the three best comedies ever. I have like Groundhog Day, Office Space, and Ghostbusters, maybe the greatest comedies I've ever seen. I love Ghostbusters to such an insane amount. I think it is, like I said, perfect movie. It's not one scene, not one character, not one line I would take out or remove. I don't know. It doesn't get much better to me than Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, clean sweep, but I just don't want to give a shout out. I think you could count on one hand how many movie quotes are more famous than I'll be back. Like,
true.
Yeah, true.
If that. It might just be one, like the most famous movie quote for all I know. But anyway, Ghostbusters, clean sweep. Now we have the 2 seed versus the 15 seed chain game. Let's do the 15 seed chain game first. Scarface, another one. It was tough to see it in here. I mean, that's about another. You were talking about quintessential 80s. That's definitely one of them. Untouchables, another one. Clemmer, you dropped it in there, I think, in your suggestion. I love Untouchables. More people should really watch that. Incredible, incredible De Palma movie. Major League, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I think another one, very pervasive, important for that period. Big, I love Big. Tough to see it here. But
they're all good movies.
God, they're all, you're really, truly all
good. Yeah, these are all great, yeah.
And this one definitely would be, I think a lot of people would be the most upset about if they're thinking about it like pure 80s movies, The Breakfast Club. I mean, The Breakfast Club, an 80s
absolutely 80s
movie for sure. And then The Blues Brothers. I mean, Blues Brothers rocks. It's another one where I don't know if I necessarily associate it with like, oh yeah, the classic 80s movies. I just think great movie, but not necessarily great 80s movie. So Brianna, I'll run through the options. Scarface, Untouchables, Major League, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Big, The Breakfast Club, and Blues Brothers. Clemmer, which one are you going for?
These are all good movies except for Blues Brothers, which is fine. It just has some problems. That's not it. Like, if you need to watch it really critically, there's a lot of issues with that movie. I appreciate it, though. But so anything is a good choice here. I'm going to go with Untouchables just because I respect the performances so much, especially from Costner. Sean Connery won the Oscar for it. It's and De Palma's direction is incredible. That staircase scene with the baby carriage doesn't get much better than that, an action sequence. So I'm going to go Untouchables, but there's not a lot of wrong answers here.
Dude, Andy Garcia, too.
Oh, so good.
Oh.
And you got De Niro as Capone.
Yeah, De Niro. Really, really good. And who played the hitman in the all-white suit?
Oh, I forget the guy's name. Let me think.
He was amazing in that movie.
Is
so
fucking Rudolph?
No, it's not. How many things I pulled out of my ass? I got Darren Goldsmith out of my ass. Hit you with a hammer. Like, who runs the 3DT?
Billy Drago, by the way. Or Drago. Was a guy who plays
Billy Drago.
Yeah,
Billy,
what a fucking
name. Fun name.
Yeah. So we are one vote for Untouchables. Robbie Fox.
easy Breakfast Club vote for me. I actually just like put this on maybe 2 weeks ago. I was looking for a movie to like fall asleep to. One of the movies that's like a comfort watch that I've seen 1,000 times. And it's this one. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. I love the I can read. Just cracks me up every time. The delivery of that. The dance is iconic. The ending is iconic. Mm-hmm. Easy Breakfast Club. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't want for Breakfast Club. Gooch.
So it's Breakfast Club. Untouchables. What were the other options? Sorry,
Scarface, Major League, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Big, and Blues Brothers.
All right, I'm going to go Major League here. Major League is one of my favorite sports movies of all time, if not just straight up comedies. Endlessly requotable. Changed the game. Might have had Ralph Macchio. Who knows? I will stick with Major League here, though. I do enjoy all these movies about the same amount.
One for Untouchables, one for Major League, one for Breakfast Club. T-Bob.
So I actually have a couple of blind spots in here. So my vote would be Breakfast Club, but I've never seen Untouchables. And so I don't want to, I feel bad about putting my thumb on the scale when I don't really know what I'm giving up instead.
I think it's fair. Movies. You should check it out though, T-Bob, for real. I think you'd like it.
Yeah. I haven't seen either. Yeah. And I know I would like that. Yeah. I haven't seen Scarface either, to be honest.
I saw Scarface once as a kid, if I'm being honest, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So this is actually a weird really J-N game for me. I'll just speak to why I love Breakfast Club. I mean, it's a classic, just all your archetypical high school characters coming together in a motley crew. And these are characters that I still think stand the test of time in terms of, like, you go to your high school today, and I'm sure the kids would see, oh, that's that guy, that's that guy, that's that guy. So, yeah, if I'm voting, it's going to be Breakfast Club for me.
Breakfast Club. Was it Maury Cohn do the score for Untouchables, Clemmer? Am I crazy on thinking that?
Yep.
Yes, yeah. It was him.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Armani did the costumes, which is always kind of crazy credit. You're like, holy shit. Dudes look great.
Georgia.
Awesome. So we are two for Untouchables, one for Major League, one for the Breakfast Club. Clem?
No, two for Breakfast Club.
Oh, sorry. Two for Breakfast Club. Sorry. Yeah. My mistake.
So Breakfast Club, I think if you search like 80s movies, that's probably what like BuzzFeed will use as their thumbnail at the top. Because I think that if you took the 80s as a person and you ripped its DNA, you put it under a microscope, it's fucking Emilio Estevez and all those guys. I just think that was like, when every time you've set it up with like coming of age movie change, like, I thought you were going to see Breakfast Club for all. So the fact it got in the chain game is like tough for the other ones. However, I'm with Gooch. I think Major League is the best sports movie of all time, and it's probably my second or third favorite comedy. Billy Madison is my favorite comedy, but it's like two or three for me. I absolutely love Major League, and I was actually just thinking, like, I don't think it's even close. I think it's easily the best sports movie of all time. So, Major League.
So that means we are tied between Major League and Breakfast Club. And to break it, I'd go with Breakfast Club just because it's the more quintessential 80s movie. Like, I agree with you guys on Major League, like, incredible, hilarious movie. But at the same time, and if I'm thinking, like, zeroing in on what we're doing here 80s wise, it's got to be Breakfast Club. And that would be my reasoning for the tie break. So that's going up against a number two seed. And we are actually going to do a little mini play in here because I'm curious what you guys think on this. So this is the Indiana Jones play-in because people differ on which one they like more. Temple's not involved here. Which one do you like more? The Last Crusade or Raiders? So that is really, whichever one of those wins is going to be our two seed. I didn't want to include too many of the same franchise here. So just
fair.
We're going to pick Raiders or we're going to pick The Last Crusade, starting with you, Clem.
All right. I'm going to leave this one up to the floor. I'm a Raiders guy. I'm also not nearly as diehard about Indiana Jones. I watched it later in life. So I think this has a lot bigger pull on, especially the young man who just left. I know he's probably like had to change his shirt to
get
ready.
He's running to go beat you up right now.
So you guys can debate this, but my vote is Raiders if you need my vote.
One for Raiders. T-Bob.
Yeah, it's Raiders for me. And I love Last Crusade as well, obviously. But, man, the opening scene of Raiders, just the entire sequence. Another one that I just rewatched. Like I could watch the first 10 minutes of that movie constantly. And also, for me, it's Karen Allen. There's nothing that's ever been sadder about the Indiana Jones franchise and Steven Spielberg wanting to cast his girlfriend and moving away from Karen Allen. She is so beautiful. The song Raiders March, like the extended full, like 7 minute Raiders March, the kind of Karen Allen, like love interlude, which you can hear seeping throughout. It feels like multiple Williams scores. It's Raiders.
Dude, the Nazis' faces melting. The fucking so good. Spielberg. And yeah. Yeah, dude, it's insane the amount of effort or the amount of like little details that went into that movie. So, so good. Gooch.
Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
There we go. Had to pull out the box set. Yeah, no, to me, 1 and 3 are very close to each other. If I had to give them scores, Raiders is like 100 and Last Crusade to me is like a 95. There are some things in Last Crusade which I do appreciate more. But Raiders, there's just that magical quality to it. Like the first time seeing Harrison Ford as Indy on screen just imprinted it into my brain as a young man. I thought I was going to be like an archaeologist historian for a while because I love that movie so much. Like, I fucking love Indy. And Raiders is the peak for him for me.
I mean, sexy Professor Indy even, right? Because you see him in the adventure, and then you get back to the classroom. You're like, that's the best-looking man I've ever seen. Dude,
he's got girls doing, like, face paint, like, secret messages to him. Yeah. It's like,
Dude, I really forgot how crazy that – like, the opening with, like, Alfred Molina getting killed with, like, the spider in the face. Oh, God, man. And spiders all over his back, like, brushing him off. Like, so many cool things throughout that. Robbie Fox.
It's Raiders for me, but I completely agree with Gooch when he says Raiders is 100 and Last Crusade is like a 95. Like, it's really fucking close, and I love them both to death. Raiders has, in my opinion, like the greatest opening scene in a movie, maybe the greatest character introduction, like you said, when he steps out of that shadow and it's just him right there. And it also leads way and kind of like paves the path for a character like a John McClane, I think, where Indy's getting his ass kicked this whole movie. Mm-hmm. He's afraid of snakes. He's a little relatable. Like, this is such an amazing, I think it's the best like action adventure movie ever made, where you're following him throughout the entire year. You're seeing the plane go to different locations and the chase for this crazy, you know, mystical object where it's like, what's going to happen when we open it? What's going to happen if the Nazis open it? People will say, oh, if Indy wasn't there, the same thing would have happened. The Nazis open it. But like, Indy was there. Indy was there for it all. I literally, my last tattoo I got, Indiana Jones, because I love this friggin' franchise, this movie so much. It's Raiders for me, yeah.
Clemmer?
Yeah, you asked what which movie I like better. The better movie is Raiders, but I like Last Crusade better. Mm-hmm. But like everyone said, these are pretty 1A and 1B. Like, I mean, they're both fantastic movies. But I would say Last Crusade, but it doesn't matter because Raiders going to win.
Yeah, I would say just as a defensive of Last Crusade, there are so many great scenes throughout that. And also, like, the addition of Sean Connery is so good. Like, insanely good, easy chemistry. Like, I don't think there's many people that can, like, masculinity match Harrison Ford. But, man, it's Sean Connery. He's the one.
True. Actually true. Yes. What's the improv line he had about her talking in her sleep?
Yeah, yeah. She talks in her sleep. Yeah. That's how I knew.
Fucking God, you see where
he is with the chair together.
Yeah.
So dude, and him almost being like this like fucking goofball. You know what I mean? Like bumbling kind of fool. Same thing with like who's the guy that they always do the things with, the British guy that is like his friend in it, where he's like, he knows a thousand languages. He'll be
John Rhys Davies. Jump cut of all time.
Yeah, he knows 5 languages. He can get air on anywhere. He'll disappear. He'll blend away. And just cut to him in the crowd like, hello, do you speak English?
So good. And the opening of Crusade is amazing too. River Phoenix playing a young Indiana Jones is like, it was so good. They made a young Indiana Jones show based on the concept of that.
Yeah, that also like great. The scene where they go to Venice and they go out through the fucking the tunnels and like the boat getting shredded in half by the giant propeller. I ain't prepared to die, Indiana. Are you? Like, it's so many. Damn, man, I gotta rewatch these. These are such good movies.
Also, on the theme park front, the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular, inspired by Raiders, still great,
So good.
Is it Raiders? It's Raiders when like the in the opening where like he's running away from the tribesmen. He's like, start the plane, start the plane.
And then there's a snake in the plane.
So I feel like this is like an easy wash. I don't even know if we have to vote on it, but Raiders versus Breakfast Club. Raiders. Are we just moving? Don't even want to waste time on it. So before we get to our playoffs, let's talk about our last sponsor of the day, DraftKings. Again, another sponsor where if you watch Barstool, you listen to anything we do, you know everything there is to know about DraftKings. Now it is your season, your shot. The NFL season is rolling, and every touchdown can bring you closer to a payout with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. Every game is another chance to cash in. Don't just watch the action; win with it. DraftKings Sportsbook delivers unmatched intensity of the, it gives you the unmatched intensity of the NFL right at your fingertips. From first touchdown to a score to anytime TD props, or the thrill of in-game betting. betting. Every snap is loaded with opportunity. New customers, this one is for you. Bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, the score over $200 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. The season's heating up. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DEBATE. That's code DEBATE to get $200 off in bonus bets instantly when you place your first $5 bet, plus over $200 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Also, the ghost leg. Man, I'm loving the ghost leg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
ghost leg's great.
It's not even on their script, but man, I love the ghost leg.
Awesome.
Great stuff from them. All right, so let's run through our playoffs. Starting on the other side, Die Hard versus Back to the Future. Let's just give it straight to Clem. Clem, you got the ball.
Rubber stamp Die Hard. Don't even make me fucking have to see what I'm doing in Back to the Future right now.
One for Die Hard or Back to the Future. T-Bob.
I'm just going to go. Yeah, I just got to go. I think with me personally, my life, I still watch Die Hard every year. I have so much love for Back to the Future. I think Biff is just one of the best characters of all time, but not going to be Die Hard for me. And I know a bunch of people mentioned him stepping on glass, but again, the genius subtle stroke of him not having shoes the entire movie, just that added layer of vulnerability, NYPD cop, Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. And then we talked about this recently, Clem, Die Hard 2 just being such a fucking bummer, but then Die Hard 3 being pretty
good. Die Hard 3's fun.
Die Hard 3's awesome, yeah.
Live for your Die Hard's good too.
Yeah,
I agree, T-Bob. People shit on that movie. I agree.
So we're 2 for Die Hard right now. Robbie Fox.
Pretty easy Die Hard one for me because, again, I watched Back to the Future for the first time maybe like 5 years ago, and I grew up with Die Hard. Like, my brother showed me Die Hard. It's like, this is a fucking movie for men, all right? You're going to become a man tonight. So easy die. And also, I got to back up my boy Clem. Come on. Like, you think I'm not going to go with him here? Yeah.
Gooch.
We are going back to the future. It's a wash now, but I like both these movies probably the same amount. But to me, in my brain, Back to the Future is quintessential 80s to me. So that kind of gives me a
cheer. That's probably true.
Good one point. Back to the Future, Clemmer.
Yeah, this is the first one that's going to lose. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit. I love Back to the Future so much. So it kind of stings that this is Die Hard's a great movie. I love Die Hard so much. So many good Die Hard memories. But Back to the Future to me is like just a level above. Alas.
Die Hard. Going to move on. On the top, Empire Strikes Back versus Goonies. Another pretty interesting one. Clemmer.
So what's the question? What do you ask?
Yeah, at the end of the podcast, let's figure out what the question
is. I think there's two like a ascending priorities or descending priorities here. I think number one, what's the better movie? And then number two is what's the better 80s movie, if that makes sense.
Well, what's the better movie is Empire Strikes Back. It's going to be I will say Goonies has more of my heart, bizarrely, but that's like nostalgic, and that's just because when I grew up and I was 5 when it came out, I was on HBO like every day, like twice a day, because HBO didn't have a very big library back then, so you'd have the same movies play over and over again. I love Goonies so much, but Empire Strikes Back is just phenomenal filmmaking. It's brilliant. It does everything right. It's so great. I have to go Empire Strikes Back, but it does make me sad not to pick Goonies.
One for Empire Strikes Back. Gooch.
Clemmer, would you say Empire Strikes Back is, you would say it's just as woven into the 80s culture as Goonies is though, right?
More so probably now. I mean? Like, I don't think people in their younger people would understand a sloth Baby Ruth reference as much as they'd understand like Darth Vader.
I am your father.
Yeah. I am going Empire Strikes Back pretty easily right here. I don't think it's very close, to be honest, but
no, it's
we'll not. See.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Fox?
Come on. Easy Empire.
T-Bob?
Yeah. I guess to highlight a couple more things from Goonies, the speech, up there, it's their time. Down here, down here, it's our time. The kiss. I mean, who didn't want to be Mikey getting to kiss the hot older girl while taking the piss? I didn't know you had braces. Oh, fucking great line. What about this? Isn't there a cut of Goonies that has the octopus in it that Data references at the end? Has anybody ever seen that? Is this an old urban legend that I've heard?
I think you're right.
Because I know they have a bit about Data always, you know, exaggerating things. And then so you just assume, oh, okay, that didn't happen. But I think there is a cut of the movie where when they come off the slide, they deal with an octopus. But Shout out One Eye Willie. I love you. I love Goonies to death, but I mean, nah, dude, it's Empire.
Empire, Clem.
I think Goonies, like Clemmer says, has a lot of people's hearts. I think Empire has their soul, though. Again, that reveal, I wish I could be around in the 80s just for when Vader reveals. And
I wish.
Nuts. And The Simpsons, when Homer says to Marge as they're leaving the theater, I can't believe Darth Vader is Luke's father and everyone waiting in line is all mad at him. It's such a great fucking Simpsons joke.
So funny.
By the way, that Goonies deleted scene is on YouTube. I just double checked.
Wow, dude. I've never seen it. Holy shit. I'm going to watch it immediately after this.
So Empire Strikes Back versus Die Hard to go into the finals. Start with you, Clem.
Two favorite movies ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one and two right there for me. And I have to go with one just based on the seating. Die Hard, fuck. God damn, that's fucked up.
One for Die Hard. T-Bob.
Empire. And I would like to shout out the Dana Beers Empire first viewing recently because it still holds up so well. Like in terms of like what the filmmakers were going for, like Dana on his own highlighted like all the same things that we've loved about it our entire life, even down to the I Know line, coldest line in movie history, I think is what he might have called it. Empire.
Empire, Robbie Fox.
It's easy Empire again, just to speak to like how much they expanded the lore from the original Star Wars. At no point in the first one does anyone move anything with the Force. So like you're immediately on Hoth. He's reaching for the lightsaber in the snow. Like that's one of the main things you think of when Star Wars fucking, oh, I'm moving the automatic doors with my mind here. Like Empire just expanded everything in such a perfect way. The settings are so good. Cloud City, the way that final confrontation between Luke and Vader looks with the glass breaking and everything about it. It's like Empire and Dark Knight are my two favorite movies ever.
God, I got goosebumps coursing through my body right now.
Not even hey, Lobot, by the way, I almost forgot you voted against Lobot.
Oh, Lobot, the best.
God damn, poor Lobot. But he's going to get it. not my original thought.
One of the seven people in the world that actually do have a Lobot figure on his
No way, dude, let's go.
But I also have Hans and McClane up there too, so it's 2-1.
Not my original thought, but I remember someone noted like the fact that when they get ambushed by Darth Vader in Cloud City and they walk in and Han doesn't even blink. He just immediately pulls out. And shoots him. What a
so badass.
Man. Yeah, so cool.
And also, what were the I want a skit on the chefs. I think they might have done like a little story in from a different point of view book or something. I want like a skit on the chefs preparing that meal.
That meal, yeah.
Told us he's got these guests coming. We don't know. Yeah. Do it like the bear, like screaming about her seat.
Yeah. Billy Dee Williams also so cool. My God.
The coolest guy ever.
Hand. I just love that he says hand dude, the entire time.
And he immediately starts hitting on Leia like right off the bat. Like, oh, it's so cool. Yeah. Two for Empire Strikes Back, one for Die Hard. Gooch.
Yeah, this is going to kill me. I'm sorry, John McClane, but I do have to go Empire Strikes Back. Just a tour de force of a movie. And one that, and I think this speaks to how great it is, and a lot of the great movies all time have this. You want to go see like the behind the scenes footage. You want to see how they made this. And Empire Strikes Back, there's a wealth of behind the scenes footage out there and it is all riveting. It is like even just the behind the scenes drama is just amazing.
There's a great book on it. Like there was a journalist that was like hired to go on set and you got to find the book because it wasn't like reprinted.
Ooh, I need to get this.
A journalist like wrote a whole book on like stories from this set and it was before the time of Disney like locking down everything and making sure stories don't go out and stuff. But I mean, it's so good. We haven't even mentioned Yoda lifting.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't even mentioned Frank Oz, dude.
Like, come on, man.
Performance, dude.
Dude, so good, top to bottom. So Empire Strikes Back is going to move into the finals here, but Clemmer?
Yeah, it's so close. I would probably go Die Hard barely, but if I did that, I think my dad, he's been dead for 30 years, he would come out of the grave and beat the shit out of me, I think. During that, I should never have taken you to Die Hard.
Force Ghost, Clemmer's dad.
Yeah, Force Ghost, Clemmer's dad.
You go up to Empire Strikes Back. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, there's no wrong answer here. What are we doing here, boys? Yeah, sure. Yes, whatever. Yes to both. Is that? But yeah.
Empire Strikes Back.
These are two unbelievable movies.
On the other side, E.T. versus The Shining. You're up first, Clever.
Oh, The Shining here. The Shining is film. It's a masterpiece. It's like Gooch did it best. It's a work of art. It's not even. It goes like Sopranos to me. Shining. These are things that go beyond like their structures of television or movies. This is like now art to me. The Shining is
so powerful and so, like I said, so many different things it could be about, with just amazing performances and the way it's shot. I don't know. There's not many things better in my life than The Shining.
Mm-hmm. Some one for The Shining. Gooch?
Yeah, I'm right there with Klimmer. Shining over E.T., which there'd be... E.T. is a tough draw, but there's very few movies that I think could knock it out here.
Two for The Shining. Robbie Fox.
I'm going to go E.T. I just have way more of a like closeness to that movie.
Mm-hmm. 2-1 right now in favor of The Shining. T-Bob?
My heart is with E.T., and as I said, a John Williams score will do it all for me. But no, I think the better movie here is The Shining. It's just so, like Klimmer was saying, it's so rich in depth. Like, you know, a lot of movies can be kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. And this one feels like one that you can just continue to chew into and like reveal itself further and further and further. So I'll go The Shining.
3 for The Shining. Clem?
Once my kids are done crying at E.T., I'm going to show them The Shining and turn them into adults.
Shining, going to move on. Raiders of the Lost Ark versus Ghostbusters. You're up first, Clem.
I got into Indiana Jones later in life, and I liked it. Ghostbusters was my life as a kid. So Ghostbusters. Like you said, perfect movie. Could it be any better? I would just love to go to the universe where Eddie Murphy is Winston just to see what it becomes. Because it's like you almost need to have Winston just be a little bit of wallpaper because they're Bill Murray is just cooking so much and you have everything else going on. But, man, that could become a whole other movie, and I'm just interested to see what it'd be. But I'm going Ghostbusters.
1 for Ghostbusters. T-Bob.
I got Indy delivering a big right hook square to the jaw of Bill Murray. Give me Raiders.
1 vote for Raiders. Robbie Fox.
I'm also going Raiders. Indiana Jones, maybe a lame thing to admit. I thought Indiana Jones was so cool as a kid that I wanted to take a flight just so I could put my hat over my eyes. Like him putting the hat on, I swear to God, I was just like, first flight I went on, I fucking put a hat over my eyes. And then I, out of the corner of my eye, I was like, is anyone seeing this? I probably look cool as hell. So I'm going Raiders.
Robbie, we had a kid on my bus in elementary school that used to wear an Indiana Jones hat onto the bus. And we would all, like, mocking him, sing the song when he came on. And he probably thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. He was like, they just hit my theme song.
Yeah. He made his life. 2 for Raiders, Gooch.
I'll take it a step further, Robbie, too, and say that the first airline to modify their flight tracker to make it look like the Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
That would be incredible. I would sign up for all their credit cards.
Yes.
And I do have to go Raiders here as well. Just a classic.
Maybe we could like scale it down and just do like the Domino's tracker. Like make that into the Raiders theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so it's a little more accessible. 3 for Raiders right now. Clemmer?
Yeah, well, Matt, this kind of bums me out too. I like Ghostbusters quite a bit more than Raiders. The comedy of Bill Murray mixed with the effects at the time were pretty strong. And then you get, we haven't even mentioned like Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver are in Ghostbusters. Yeah. They're both awesome. Like it's such a great movie. I don't know. Ghostbusters. And I think it's like, I don't know, because it's supernatural or I don't know what it is. I feel like it's timeless in a way. Like
I think so.
I think it plays now really well. And
the Indiana Jones, Marshmallow Man. Like what a great like monster. Like
crazy monster to create. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, great. Movie, yeah. Indiana Jones is going to win, but I my heart's with Ghostbusters here, for sure. Well, I would go Ghostbusters.
Clemmer, I was like, I just got to get it to Clemmer with one more vote, and we have it. I knew, and I was like,
Was it Raiders 1 that he got the ghost head? Right? That's in 1, not 2, right?
Yeah, where that's in 1.
Dan Aykroyd gets head from a ghost? That's
in Ghostbusters 1, right.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick. Like,
so good. That line is incredible.
That same guy, William Atherton, he's also in Die Hard.
Hey, he's awesome.
No way.
Yeah. He's like one of the great, like, kind of like pricks in like 1980s
prick. Yep. Yeah.
So Raiders of the Lost Ark versus The Shining, starting with you this time, Clemmer.
Oh, it's The Shining, but I would say by a mile here. That's how I like Indiana Jones a lot. Very great movie for sure. But Shining to me, like I said, is a work of art.
1 for The Shining, Gooch.
Yeah, both 100 out of 100 for me, but The Shining does just get the slight edge there. I'm on Klimmer's page. It is just a work of art to me. This final championship will be interesting.
Mm-hmm. 2 for The Shining, Robbie Fox.
I agree with everything Clemmer said. If it were opposite day.
Raiders. Two for The Shining, one for Raiders.
Fuck you, Robbie.
This is probably the inverse of how I felt about E.T. and The Shining, where kind of my heart was made more with E.T., but The Shining's a better movie. Like, I think The Shining is probably a better movie than Raiders, but Raiders just, it means so much to me. And I just see Karen Allen smiling with that sunset desert behind her. Give me Raiders.
Dude, her ripping the shots in that, like, Nepal.
Oh, so fucking sick.
And then the shot of Indy's shadow on the wall when he walks in and it's still on her. Oh, so good.
Dude, when they're like, how the Nazis find up, and the guy just goes like, and it's like the big burn on his hand.
Burns into his fucking hand, Home Alone style. Yeah.
Fuck, it's so cool.
Have you guys seen Animal House?
Yeah. I haven't, actually.
He's so lovable in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, she's so great.
Yes,
like,
I know. I guess I just love Karen Allen.
She's great. You guys are absolutely right. You're talking about, like, and I brought up how, like, Spielberg used Capshaw instead of Karen Allen. Mm-hmm. Like, she should have got more work in the 80s. Like, who didn't love Karen Allen? Like, she's just so likable and so relatable and such a good actress. It always felt so real. I wish she had done more.
I mean, Sandlot, that was a huge movie in my childhood, right? And she was the perfect character in Sandlot as well.
Dude, when she's like getting drunk with the French guy too in Indy, and like just takes out the knife, like it's she's so cool, man.
She's so cool.
Hot. 2-2, you're gonna break it, Clem.
Right. When someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. Revenge, spite vote. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going for Shining because of The Shining. Again, I'm just not as big an Indy fan, and it's like, again, I feel like an adult. I feel like I'm drinking like whiskey out of a glass right now. Gotcha. I'm voting for The Shining. I'm not an adult, so I don't do that stuff.
So, what, our one seed, Empire Strikes Back, versus our six seed, The Shining, in the finals. You're going to go first, Clem.
And that I could do this in my sleep. Empire, for all the reasons we haven't mentioned. We could go, there could be a whole podcast just how awesome is Empire. Robbie, well, can we just do like perfect movies on My Mom's Basement? And we just go rewatch all these movies we mentioned as perfect movies? Because I could do, we've probably already done 2 hours in Empire. I could do another 100. So yeah. Empire.
Empire Strikes Back, one vote. T-Bob.
Yeah. Star Wars has defined so much of my life. And Empire is probably the best Star Wars movie, score, everything. The, everything. We haven't even talked about Dagobah much, but Frank Oz, the puppet work, the practical effects. The Ralph McQuarrie matte paintings.
Yeah.
I mean, just unreal. Like, my dream is to one day somehow get my hands on one, or maybe like a print of one. I don't know. But yeah, give me Empire.
Two for Empire, Robbie Fox.
Easy, Empire. Like Clem said, we could do a whole friggin' podcast on everything in Empire that we haven't even mentioned on this show. Like, it is so friggin' awesome. I watch it multiple times a year. It's the ultimate comfort movie for me. If it was snowing when I was little, like, it was like, we're watching at least the opening scene. We're watching at least everything involving Hoth. It's my favorite movie, along with Dark Knight, Catch Me on, a Random Day. It's one or the other, so it's going to be Empire.
Three for Empire. Gooch.
Again, even in my head, but Star Wars is just so intertwined in my head to 80s culture that it is impossible not to give the crown here. Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back. Clemmer.
You guys are all scared of Darth Vader. Okay. Guy in mask, breathes funny. Okay. You show me that scene when Nicholson's talking to Grady, the caretaker, and he's talking about how he killed his daughters because he needed to be corrected. That is the best scene of evil on screen that's ever been portrayed. You watch that scene and you take Star Wars, you're a child. The giant is the right pick here.
Darth Vader killed his wife and two kids. At least he thought he did.
Good
all right?
Point. Yeah.
Put some respect on my guys.
He is like the ultimate intergalactic genocider. I think we can give him a little bit of respect as a bad guy, probably.
watch Grady. You want to be in a room with Grady?
Call me Peter Pan. I don't want to grow up, Clemmer.
I think that is the problem, Clemmer, is like, yeah, we are children. Like, I still absolutely.
I'm going to spend the next 2 hours doing a video game stream. So, I mean, who the fuck?
By the way, a weird side part of this. We talked about like what movie would have, which quote is more like the more famous than "I'll be back." Like Luke, "I am your father," even though it's not even the line, is the most famous one. Probably it's fucking crazy.
Here's Johnny's a pretty good one.
That's true.
Good call.
Very, very good call, Clemmer. But the winner is of the bracket, 189 best movies of the 1980s is Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back, folks. Yeah, I'll say though, in the bracket, typically the one seed does not win, and sometimes it gets knocked out very early. But this is a very tough one seed to beat. So shout out to The Empire Strikes Back.
Ken Jack, you invited the both guys to do a show called My Mom.
No, we don't need to keep wrapping up.
This was in the bag.
You did kind of stack the deck. I mean,
I loaded the courts.
Star Wars has defined my life.
I don't even know if I've seen all the Star Wars movies. I'm not a big fan like that.
I voted for Die Hard. What are you guys talking about?
I feel like one of Grady's kids right now. I just got chopped up.
But thank you all for joining, and we'll be back next week with a new topic.